who had come for exercise last month, there were four people I was told. 1, 2, 3. They should be given a special prize. That day my car floated at Lal Bagh on the waters because it's too light. And then she stopped. Well, friends, in June and July, they're coming. Can you see my dirty face? So in June and July, we have been talking about a key to Yog Sutra. Whenever we talk about the key, we refer to a lock and closed doors, isn't it? So the key is followed by closed doors. Where are the closed doors? So there are road signs that lead us to the closed doors. When we reach the closed doors, we apply the key. Closed doors suggest that we are outside the closed doors, not inside the closed doors. On the closed doors is written one word, avidya, meaning we are in the land of ignorance. That means existence is the land of ignorance. Who bhuva swaha is the land of ignorance. Can we put the key in? If it turns, the doors open. If it does not turn, the doors don't open. And you will tell me, if it is a key, the doors must open. But it is stipulated that if this key is only a mental conception, it won't turn the lock. But if the key is experience, then it will unlock the door. Get my point? So the difference between a mental conception and an experience means practices or no practices. Is that clear? This is the layout of Yoga Sutra. The key, the closed doors, the sign leading us to the closed doors, and for the key to turn or not to turn, and the door should open. And if the doors open, what do you find?
Vidya.
This is another mental conception. Outside the door, if it is avidya, within the door must be vidya. I have shown you this many times before. Some of you may be very newcomers, may not have seen this. But I have shown this very much, very many times. You have seen it, no? Many times? Most of you have seen it many times, isn't it? This is creation. The top one is creation. This small little thing is shown in the big way, in the bigger scale. This small little thing here is shown in the bigger way. This is existence, the land of ignorance. Then you apply the key to experience, you enter creation again. Creation is our home, our celestial home. where we as divine segments are fragments of divine wholeness, Atma Paramatma. So what we find is a celestial home where body, brain, mind, senses, sense organs, memory, etc., etc., are not needed. The greatest difference between the Western philosophy and Indian philosophy is the absence of mind, absence of infinite mind. In the West and in most other religions, it is always attributed as mind of God. God has no mind. If God had mind, even infinite mind, he would make mistakes. Because mind is always subject to mistake. It may be one mistake in an eternity, but it is there and it could be fatal. So God cannot have a mind. Neither can your brain. And we have noted that divine fragments do not need brain, mind, senses, body, memory, etc., etc. So why should God need all these? So, from the land of ignorance, from the land of the exile, we enter our home, our birthplace, and return as divine fragments, as from the same doors, in some forgotten past, we came out as divine fragments trying to have experience of existence and therefore needed body, mind, brain, senses, etc. So this is the layout of the Yoga Sutra. In the last two meetings, we talked about the key. And during that, we referred to various disturbances, namely, if a drop of water were to fall on the surface of water that was steady, it will take time to come back to that original condition. Then, we noted the tuning fork, you remember? And it took longer time to come back to its original state of balance. Then we talked about the thinking instrument of man. If it was disturbed, it would take yet longer time to come to balance again. And then we talked about the psychic body-manas system, which is much more sensitive and primary. And if it was disturbed, it took enormous time to come back to balance. Then we also noted that in case of water and in case of the tuning fork, it could come to rest, given some time. But the law of nature provided, in the case of the thinking instrument, and in the case of the psychic nature, that means body-manas system, that if once disturbed, it will not come to rest, because the disturbances will be regular and continuous. So if the thinking instrument does not come to a rest, and if the psychic body-manas system do not come to a rest, what is the way out? This is what we had seen under the heading of key. Meaning that the key is that we find a way in spite of nature's law, that the thinking instrument of man, the brain, and the psychic nature, manas, be brought to a state of calm, a state of balance. If we could do that, we have the key. As present this key for all of you is the mental conception. You get my point? So today if you go to unlock the doors, the key won't turn and open the door. Because at this stage you have a conception of the key. The practices will give you the experience and then the key can turn in the lock. Now comes therefore the land of ignorance where we roam around unthinkingly, unknowingly, where our next foot will be, and we try to refer the various road signs that will take our footsteps towards the closed doors. So in our today's notes, we shall refer to the very many road signs that will take us towards the closed doors. So we begin. Before we begin, let us trace the layout of the Yoga Sutra of Sage Patanjali. First, we begin with the key. This key has been elaborated in our notes of June and July. Then reach for the closed doors because key presupposes opening of closed doors. Then come the road signs that we can direct our footsteps towards the closed doors. When we reach the closed doors, we read only one word, namely avidya. That is, we are in the land of avidya. The land of avidya is the celestial bubble, namely existence. This is the chart I showed you. Finally, on reaching the closed doors, we apply the key and the doors open. What do we find, or rather, what happens then? We find and realize that we are the divine fragments, and in some deemed forgotten past, we had willingly stepped out of these very doors to experience the celestial bubble that is existence. Realizing our true self now, we need the body, brain, mind, senses, and we live behind all these and enter through the same doors our celestial home, namely creation. And realizing that we are divine fragments, we also realize some superpowers. But now, who needs anything? We can now willingly again enter the celestial bubble, that is existence, like Buddha or Christ, or merge into divine wholeness. This, in short, is message of Yoga Sutra. Earlier, we had noted how the surface of water can be disturbed and time taken to come to rest. Then we noticed how a tuning fork, if disturbed, it takes longer time to come to rest. Then we noted how the surface of thinking instrument, if disturbed, takes yet longer time to come to rest. And finally, our psychic nature, that is our psychic body-mana system, if disturbed, it takes immensely long duration to come to rest. Further, we also noted that in case of 1 and 2, time may allow the surface to come to rest again. But in case of 3 and 4, nature's law does not allow the respective surfaces to come to rest at all. This is nearly an insurmountable or unsurmountable obstacle and an hindrance in the path of the individual and in the case of the race of mankind. Besides this, in all cases 1, 2, 3 and 4, whenever the surfaces are disturbed, they create sound, faint or loud or louder, depending on the surface. It may not be harmful in 1 and 2, but in case of 3 and 4, it is definitely harmful, as it prevents or rather breaks or destroys the possibility of continuous communication with Chitta or Infinite Mind. The first four sutras form the key to understanding Yoga Sutra. A key presupposes closed doors, and so the key can open the closed doors. But to find the closed doors, we must know the road leading to closed doors. So now we come to the road signs, following which we shall reach the closed doors. Today's notes are to be read in conjunction with the notes of June and July. Book 1, Sutra 8. What does it say? Incorrect knowledge is based upon perception. Perception is not the proper translation. Seeing or observing of the form and not upon the state of being. This sutra is a single example given by Patanjali. But it means we gather knowledge through our brain as we gather stones to be that much unwanted low. Understand? The finest human organ of intelligence, so called, the brain of man, can gather knowledge as we can gather stones to be that much unwieldy load, unwanted. Today we realize because the knowledge is growing in the world and the human brain is unable to gather all the knowledge as well. If there is a doctor, he has to be an eye specialist, a nose specialist, an ear specialist, a heart specialist, or something or the other, or a specialist of broken bones. So even in one single field of medicine, the brain is not enough to gather the stones that are so unwieldy and not needed. Because the communication which can directly give wisdom and knowledge is not put into operation. And in absence of such possibility, we have to gather knowledge as we gather stones. In any field of knowledge, diversity of knowledge is such, no one mind can gather all the knowledge, even as it is known today. What will happen tomorrow is unthinkable. We might find tomorrow that in primary school the children will know as much as people know today during their doctorate. And they will not be able to gather more. Even specializing will end, because the knowledge will keep on growing, and gathering of stones is no easy matter, and will feel tired, and then we will have to turn elsewhere for knowledge, which the Hindu sastras have been hinting for the last so many thousand years. It is not possible for the brain to collect knowledge nor to direct the footsteps to wisdom. You get my point? Here in this sutra, one particular instance is given by Sait Patanjali, but it is any number of instances where it is clear that the brain is not the source of knowledge. Repeatedly I have told you before that whatever comes to gathering of knowledge by the brain is not education, because education has to come from within. Because the very base of education, educo, means from inside, whilst all of our knowledge is gathering of stones from outside, loading ourselves with all that weight. And then all we can do is call ourselves well informed, may have a little ego that I have gathered so much knowledge. Besides that, there is nothing. There is no further hope. What is the second hint given? So, book 1, Sutra 8, what did we say? We gather knowledge through our brain as we gather stones to be that much unwanted load. This sutra gives one example, but it means that we have failed in establishing communication with infinite mind. So, book 1, Sutra 9, what does it say? Fancy rests upon images which have no real existence. All our life, we live by fancy and not by facts. Catch yourself any moment during your waking hour, and you are either in the past or in the future. You are either brooding or you are either daydreaming. Both brooding and daydreaming are images, they are not facts. Only the present is fact, and we are seldom in the present. So our second step, fancy, is the cause of our unhappiness in this land of illusion. Book 130. This sutra needs no further clarification and is due to avidya. What does it say? The obstacles to soul cognition are bodily disability, mental inertia, wrong questioning, carelessness, laziness, lack of dispassion, erroneous perception, inability to achieve concentration, failure to hold the meditative attitude when achieved. These are all of our education, all of our knowledge, all of our heaps of burden of knowledge does not enable us to understand these few words. All the doctorate in the world does not give us any understanding of bodily disability, mental inertia, wrong questioning, carelessness, laziness, lack of dispassion, erroneous perception, inability to achieve concentration, failure to hold the meditative attitude when achieved. If we cannot do this, our so-called education is imperfect. All the load is useless of our knowledge if we cannot know these few words, neither understand them, nor be able to achieve anything about it. So this is the third road sign which says you are in the land of ignorance. Then from book 131, this sutra describes the state of an individual in grief of avidya. What does it say? Pain, despair, misplaced bodily activity and wrong direction of control of life currents are the results of the obstacles in the lower psychic nature. Once again, the sage is telling us that all our knowledge is useless because we are not free from all this. We are not free from what? We are not free from pain, despair, misplaced bodily activity, wrong direction of control of life current, that is breathing. These are the results of obstacles in the lower psychic nature. fifth road sign. Book 2, 3. Hindrances and obstacles arise out of avidya. What does the sutra say here? Book 2, 3. These are difficulty producing hindrances. Avidya, the sense of personality, desire, hate and sense of attachment. Again and again we are told about our weaknesses, about our inability to do anything about it, and above all, the inability of all our knowledge to help us. Is that clear? That all our knowledge is unable to help in so many ways. Book 2, 4. This sutra is a continuation of the three above. Book 2, 4. Avidya is the cause of all other obstacles, whether they be latent, in process of elimination, overcome, or in full operation. The one word avidya meaning it's ignorance, but it is not literal translation as ignorance. It is not the inability to read or write. We call ignorance as illiteracy, knowledge as literacy. It's not used in that sense. Here the word ignorance is, if you are not able to maintain all this and find that these difficulties you are not able to surmount, then all the knowledge you have gathered is useless. I think I have told you that story of a professor. Didn't I tell you? A professor once went boating. He asked the boatman, "Do you know Milton's Paradise Lost?" He says, "Sir, I have not read anything like that because I don't know how to read." A quarter of your life is wasted. A little further he went and he asked about Einstein. "Do you know Einstein? Who he is?" He says, "Sir, I don't know anything about Einstein." "My friend, half your life is wasted." Suddenly the storm came up, the wind came up, the boat was overturned and boat went into the water and the boat was swam to the shore. And from that asked, "Professor, do you know swimming?" He said, "No, then all your life is wasted." So, if your professor, knowing all these, when the storm will come, you will sink. You will not be able to swim to the shore. And your entire life is wasted. So in your knowledge, there must be some other type of knowledge which must help you during storm. Because life, you don't know when the storms gather. And when the storms gather, you will sink. If you want to reach to the other shore, see that some special type of knowledge is inculcated. That is what the sutras are trying to say. That these are the hints, the road signs which show that you have not still collected the right type of knowledge. So that when the storm comes up, you will sink. You get that one? Book 2.5. This sutra gives an example that means that normally life is lived by knowledge gathered by the brain as stones are gathered and not by guidance of infinite mind. What is this? Book 2.5. Avidya is the condition of confusing the permanent, the pure, the blissful and the self with that which is impure, important, painful and not the self. Impermanent, painful and not the self. This again is one example given by the sage. Meaning, if we say the moon is bright and we give to the moon the ability to shine. It's of ignorance. Because the moon cannot shine, and the moon has no light of its own. So that is ignorance. If you think that the moon shines and the moon is light, because it's nothing but a mere reflection of sunlight. Like that, there are many things we presume. We say the sun rises, the sun never rises. The sun sets, the sun never sets. We always see the sky, there is never a sky. So there are many, many things in our knowledge, many, many phrases in our knowledge which we think we consider as truth, but which is falsehood. So, in our daily life, there are many things we take for granted, which are not correct. He gives one example only. And we must therefore, with our mental analysis, come to the conclusion as to how many illusions we live under. Further, in Book 2.17, the Sutra says, the Sutra makes it clear once again that brain is neither the perceiver, nor can it guide correctly, and to assume that it is the perceiver and it is able to guide creates confusion, which in turn makes one experience pain needlessly. What does the Sutra say? The illusion that the perceiver and that which is perceived are one and the same is the cause of the pain-producing effects which must be warded off. In short, the suttas want to tell us that we as human beings live by and through our five sense organs and our senses. We have not ever challenged that these five senses will give us correct knowledge. We have always assumed that they are our guide, and we live by the guidance of these five senses and our five sense organs. Living through them, we come to a state of pain. Physical, emotional, mental and psychic. When this pain is unbearable, we search for a school, an ashram, a teacher, a book, which might show us the way out of all our pain. This odd hour that you come here at 4:30 is sufficient proof that you have an unexpressed inner desire to come out of some confusion that you are in, and hoping by some method to clear that confusion or clear that pain. If you find that it is not done here, you will find another place, another man. And this search will go on indefinitely in this life and perhaps in many lives to come. Why am I stressing all the time the need to understand Yoga Sutra? Is that sounding philosophy cannot take us out of this confusion nor reduce our pain? These road signs will make it clear that we are wandering in the land of ignorance. Ignorance of certain facts. Which if known and practiced, we can come out of our ignorance and fail. And for that practical approach, at least I have not found better guidance than Yoga Sutra. That is why we are going through this sutra. Book 2, 23 and 24. At a later stage, when some clarity dawns on an individual, individual mind as well as infinite mind have the limitation and one should go beyond is realized. First, we realize the limitation of brain. We try communication with infinite mind. Take help of infinite mind for guidance. Then when we will make certain progress, we will realize that even infinite mind has no wisdom of its own. Again, the infinite mind is reflecting light from another source, like the moon reflecting the light of the sun. Then we realize that we should even give up the guidance of infinite mind. Then we turn to, finally, the divine fragment within us, which is the only source of light, guidance, wisdom, and true knowledge. And the root sign is book 2, 33 and 34. Like book 1, 30 and 31, now are enumerated obstacles. Earlier they were hindrances. And like hindrances, obstacles are also a result of avidya. The association of the soul with the mind, and thus with that which the mind perceives, produces an understanding of the nature of that which is perceived. And likewise the perceiver. The cause of this association is avidya. This has to be overcome. Further, we go to book 315. The sutra says, this is the law of nature. However much one may study or read, the place on the ladder of inner evolution will ultimately decide the state of the thinking instrument and the psychic nature. When thoughts which are contrary to yoga are present, there should be the cultivation of the opposite. Thoughts contrary to yoga are harmfulness, falsehood, theft, incontinence, avarice, whether committed personally, caused to be committed, or approved of. These result always in excessive pain and ignorance. For this reason, the contrary thoughts must be cultivated. These are practices as we have spelt out in the small yellow book, Education for Attention, where we have given you corrective exercises. Thoughts contrary to yoga. So whenever thoughts contrary to yoga disturb the brain and mind, there are methods whereby we can cultivate through corrective exercises the opposite in emotion. We are just going first over the road signs, then we will go deeper into that. Book 315, the stage of development is responsible for the various modifications of the versatile psychic nature and of the thinking principle. You see, again and again, emphasis is laid on the thinking instrument and the psychic nature. A part of the brain forms the thinking instrument, and our psychic body-mana system forms the emotional nature. We live by our emotions and our reactions to emotions. The reaction to our emotions lead us to actions, and our actions ultimately are translated into what is known as karma. This karma of one life becomes the sanskar of the next life, and therefore a sanskar becomes our destiny. The root sign tells us that once our emotions lead us to actions, and thereby we create certain karma, the resulting destiny as sanskar coming to us is then unavoidable. When sanskar reaches us, we are in no position to bypass, and the result is pain. If we take no steps, either in this life, in the last one, or in the coming one, this cycle will keep on repeating endlessly, eternally. You friends are gathered here with one motive, that you may find a way of how to struggle out of these sanskars, the inevitable destiny that will come our way. And the sutra says that your ability to escape will depend upon the qualities you have gathered, the permutation and combination of the state of qualities, the three qualities that you have gathered. Based on that, in spite of all your education, your thinking will be made to go in a particular direction, and thereby your actions will come in a particular direction. An illiterate, angry man might murder. An educated doctor can give slow poison and kill his wife. Both murder. It shows education does not help. It only gives you better means to do the same wrong. Here the whole stress is on the fact that knowledge does not help you to bypass the slavery enforced on us by our qualities, by our sanskar. No amount of knowledge makes our thinking pure, clear, helpful, constructive. How will you therefore, in what manner therefore, will you fight this more